You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Hey guys, just a quick note about this week's episode. I recorded it on the road a little while ago, and being the incompetent podcast host that I am, I didn't bring my headphones to do a sound check while we were recording. And so the sound is a little off this week because I am a lot louder than my guest because he's a well-spoken, intelligent individual and I'm me. I can't fix it. I did the best I could. So I apologize in advance if you guys find the volume a little off. I'm aware of it. I'm going to try to fix it in the future. All right. It's a free podcast hosted by a broke comedian. What do you want? With that said, enjoy the show, you guys. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night, and as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about a game from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. This week, episode 43. It took us 43 episodes to climb over to the Xbox, the original Xbox, and talk about one of their exclusives. Really, it might be one of the two exclusives on that console worth talking about, and the other one is its sequel. Today we're talking Halo Combat Evolved. Who didn't like it? It's fucking Halo, man. I mean, okay, just quick. Okay, I will talk Halo. Before I do that, I'll get my announcements. That way, it's just done. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/rememberthegame. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at Member the Game, just like Remember without the RE at the front. Follow us. We follow everybody back. Reach out and say hi. That'd be really cool. I'd appreciate it. Just like Jeffrey did, reached out to me on Facebook through our Facebook page last week from Virginia, just saying that he's been listening to old episodes, catching up, and he's really enjoying them. So, dude, those messages mean the world to me. So thank you so much for saying hey and telling me you appreciate the podcast and you're listening. That's fucking dope. Keep going. I hope you listen to this one. Otherwise, you didn't catch your shout out. But dude, thank you very much. If you listen to the show and you like it, please leave give me a quick shout out. I really appreciate it. Leave us a good review on your feed or your podcast source of choice. That'd be much appreciated as well. I don't know what they accomplish, but I've been told that's what we're supposed to be asking for. Okay, that's good. This week we're talking Halo. I quickly want to point out we recorded this one on the road. I have a few of these episodes coming up. I've been on the road a lot for comedy. So this one was recorded in my hotel room with my mics and stuff, but we didn't have the mic stands in the setup. I didn't have my headphones to keep track of sound because I'm not good at this. So I hope that the sound quality is there. My guest this week is fellow comedian, really good guy from the Fort McMurray, Alberta. My buddy Ty joined me. He sat in my hotel room with me and we partook in a little scotch, a little alcohol and talked to Halo. Ty's a comic. He knows how the microphone works. So hopefully the sound quality is there. Also, I'm going to try to split. You guys might not be able to tell by the end, but I knocked my recorder off of the bed I was sitting on near the end. That's how professional this podcast is. So we had to pick up and re-record the last like 3 minutes of the show. So I'm going to try to splice this. You guys can't even tell, but if you're wondering what the fuck happened at the end, that's what happened. Good episode, good game, good enough. So you've heard why. If the sound isn't good, that's why. We're talking Halo this week, you guys. This game is the game that built Xbox, is it not? I mean, it's like when we have the Xbox One today without Halo back in 2001, I don't think we would, you know. And everyone talks Halo 2, and I remember when Halo 2 came out and how excited I was to play it, and Halo 2 was fucking rad. But the original Halo is pretty dope as well, and I didn't care for it, I won't lie to you, the first time I played it with my, I remember getting into it originally with my buddy Chris Russell, where I grew up, and I didn't care for the controller. I thought it was fucking weird, the giant Xbox controller. I thought the control scheme was weird. I know it's all standard to us now, but I was used to GoldenEye and Perfect Dark in those games. But it grew on me. It grew on me to the point where I bought an Xbox just to play Halo. And I guarantee you, there's someone, probably a lot of someone's listening to this podcast that did the exact same thing. You bought an Xbox for Halo. I mean, people talk Mario, they talk Zelda, you know, Final Fantasy and stuff like that. But I think that Halo is to Xbox what the Final Fantasy VII was to the PlayStation, you know, or what Ocarina of Time was to the Nintendo 64. It's the flagship title for this console. It's closest thing that they have to a mascot, I would say. And I won't lie to you, like, the Xbox 360 is easily my favorite non-Nintendo console of all time. It's probably my three favorite consoles of all time. But my favorite memory of the Xbox 360, outside of sports games, is actually Gears of War. Once I got into that series, I actually much preferred it to Halo. But having said that, and we'll do a Gears of War episode eventually. But having said that, I mean, it's fucking Halo. It's like, it's got to be one of the 50 biggest video games of all time, does it not? I mean, look at the franchise. If anything, just for the franchise, it spun off with all the games and toys and movies, comics, books, fucking everything that came out of Halo came from this. This was ground zero, man. So this is a big episode. I've been looking forward to doing this one for a while. I've wanted to talk the original Xbox for quite a while. But there's not a lot to talk about on there that's not also available on other stuff, right? Like, you could apply like the Vice City episode and stuff like that to it. I mean, I guess there's Fable. I didn't really play that much Fable, though. I don't know if I could talk about it for that long. Like, what else was there for the Xbox? If you're listening to this and there's another Xbox game that you really want us to talk about, Xbox exclusive, I'm saying, let me know, because I have no problem. I mean, Xbox deserves its place in history. I have no problem talking about it. I just don't know any of the other games to talk about. It's all I played was Halo and sports primarily. So good enough. Okay, so that's what we're talking about this week. You guys know I got a couple more minutes of rambling about other stuff, video games, before I get to the chat about Halo. Microsoft and Nintendo are buddies now. I know I've talked about it on here before, but and I'm going to get to this in a second, but Cuphead was an Xbox One exclusive that recently, and I guess on PC, but recently found its way onto the Switch, and Xbox Live is coming to Switch. And so if any of the executives from either of those companies are listening to this, and I'm sure they are, I sure would like to see the Master Chief Collection fucking ported to Switch. That I would love. Imagine playing Halo on Switch. get Master Chief into fucking Smash, because why not? So that'd be sick, man. So I'm really hoping that that's coming. Okay. So that's what I wanted to talk about with Halo before I get to the chat with Ty, where we talk much more Halo. For other stuff going on in my life as far as video games go, I finally bit the bullet after shitting it on this podcast for months and bought a PlayStation Classic. Before you call me a hypocrite, Best Buy had them on sale this week for $29, which is like $100 less than the fucking launch price. And so finally, I was like, you know what? For $29 just to have Resident Evil, Metal Gear Solid and Final Fantasy VII available to me anytime, I will buy it. And I'm not going to bullshit you. I have every intention of seeing what I can do with that thing under the hood. I'm also word challenged. I'm technologically challenged, but I'm going to try to hack it and play with it a little bit. I've had some people point out to me that instead of buying these mini consoles and playing hacker with those, just look at a Raspberry Pi. If you don't know what a Raspberry Pi is, it's basically, as far as I know, like the king of emulating systems. That's like a portable thing you can hook up to your TV and stuff like that. And I have no problem with anyone that does that stuff. I just want to state that for the record. I don't care if you do that stuff. My personal philosophy when it comes to anything like that is if I can give a company some of my money to try to support them, then I will. Okay, where I look at ROMs and stuff like that are games that just aren't available to me anywhere else. You know what I mean? If I get a PlayStation Classic and get into it, I want to do things like put Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 on it and stuff like I won't lie to you. Some of the games I want to buy on are available on other things. But the point I'm trying to make is that I like to give a little bit of money back to the companies and support them the best I can. I did with the NES, the SNES Classic. I'm going to do with the PlayStation Classic. The Sega Classic that's coming out at the end of the year looks fucking rad, to the point where I'm considering pre-ordering one. You know, I don't mind throwing some money when I can. I do the same thing with music and with movies. I don't like to illegally download stuff. I'm not judging people that do it. It's just that as a comedian, and now it's, again, as you hear from that verse off the top, it's how I pay my bills is with my comedy. So I consider myself a little bit of a content creator in my own right. And I certainly don't create fucking multi-million-dollar video games, you know, but I wouldn't appreciate if someone was taking my comedy and using it for profit for free. So if I can throw a few bucks to someone that created something, that's what I'm going to do. So before I get any texts or emails or anything saying, go get a Raspberry Pi, I know I could get a Raspberry Pi. I don't have a problem with people that do it. I just prefer to do it this way. Plus, I think that the PlayStation Classic, like, to its credit, as shitty as it is, and for as bad as Sony fucked it up, it looks rad. And it's going to look dope on my shelf next to my little NES and my little SNES. And hopefully Nintendo's listening and they come up with a little N64 soon. Maybe a little PS2 Classic. We'll get a Sega Dreamcast Classic after the Genesis. Let's just classic up all of them. That's my preferred way to play retro games now. You know, I think and I have no beef with collecting, dude. I used to collect. I'd like to do an episode on collecting down the road. I think it's a fucking phenomenal hobby and you're keeping video games alive. I won't lie to you. Maybe it's because I'm getting old and cranky and I'm getting soft, but I prefer when I can use save states and things like that. I don't mean to spam them all the time, but it just makes life so much easier than fucking having to play for 3 hours to find a save point, you know? So what you can do on the point of that is like with the NES and the SNES Classic, that's what you can do. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. So that's what's going on. That's my life as far as video games go. What have I been playing over the last... Fuck, I wanted this one to be shorter too. It's still almost 10 minutes. What have I been playing over the last 7 days, you ask? Tetris 99 primarily. I should just say that every week. That's going to be here till the end of... Till the Switch Online is shut down someday a long way from now. Tetris 99 is the fucking best version of Tetris ever made. I don't care what you say. I adore it. So I'm playing Tetris 99. Still grinding through Shining Force. I've been talking about it on here for a few weeks. Tactical RPG on the Sega Classic Collection on my Switch. It's fucking awesome. It's not that it's this long. I just only put a couple hours a week into it. I throw it in, play a little while, and then turn it off. But it's fucking rad. There is an episode on Shining Force upcoming on this podcast. 1,000,000,000%. And I am playing the aforementioned Cuphead, which, if you don't know, is a original, like I said, Xbox exclusive. It's on PC now. It's on Steam, Switch. It is a shooter action kind of game. I don't want to call it a platformer. It's more along the lines of like Contra, I guess, that style of game. But it's a pretty much entirely boss fights. There's a few levels. It focuses on the boss fights. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's like a 1930s cartoon. They've got the music with the scratchy sounds on it. They've got the scratches on the screen. They look like an old cartoon film. It's got the same style of like text and everything. And it is magnificent. It's hard as fuck, but I love it. I'm almost done it. I'm going to go back and try to 100% at least some of it. I adore it. I fucking adore it. It is, it's perfect. It's a masterpiece. So if you've got a Switch or an Xbox One or a computer, play Cuphead. I fucking beg you, play Cuphead. It's so good. And just quickly, and I think I've ranted about this on here before, but like indie games have become my niche. Like I love like cheaper indie games more than I like most AAA titles at this point, to be honest with you. And when you look at my, like my Switch alone, which has become an indie haven, it's basically replaced the Vita as the place to go for indie games as far as a home console, if you're not going PC goes. Like The Messenger, Hollow Knight, Shovel Knight, Guacamelee 1 and 2, what the fuck am I playing right now? Cuphead. They go on and on and on. Celeste. Like, I know I'm not even giving all of them credit. Indie games are just phenomenal. So if you're looking for something to play on any system, on any of the main consoles or on PC, if you're looking for something to play and you don't want to drop $60 or $70 to try a game, I fucking beg you, just try an indie game. You know, there's a billion of them out there. Do a little bit of homework. You'll find consensus lists that are listing off the top 10, 15 games at any given time. And I'm telling you, they're so good. Oh, Into the Breach is another one. They're so good. So try them. Try some indie games. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. There's so much love put into them. And if you're a retro gamer like I am, and you probably are if you're listening to this, there are so many retro throwback style games right now that are just magnificent. They're just, imagine if the NES or the SNES hadn't died, or the Sega, and people were still making games for them, but they had the knowledge that they've, you know, the game design knowledge that they've acquired over the last 20 years. That's what some of these games are. They're just fucking perfect. Some of the best games I've ever played are indies on the Switch and the PS4 when I had one. So try them. Just try a couple. They're cheap. You know, you're not out anything. Just fucking just try them. And SteamWorld Dig. Try those ones too. That's another one. I could go forever. Good enough. 13 minutes. Shut the fuck up, Adam. We're talking Halo this week, you guys. Halo Combat Evolved. It was originally released on November 15th, 2001. It's coming up on its 18th birthday. Cue the music. There it is. It can legally drink now, or will be able to in November anyway. Here in Alberta, I guess in most of you places, you got to be older. This is a stupid analogy. It's 18 to drink in Alberta. That's the point I'm trying to make. My buddy Ty and I sat down in a hotel room in Fort McMurray, and we drank and we talked Halo. And now you guys get to hear what we had to say for the next 40 minutes or so. Kick back, relax. Let's talk Halo Combat Evolved for the original Xbox. Here we go.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting is a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
Okay, so we're recording. I think this is one of the first times I've ever done this outside of going to BC with my nephew, but I'm on the road. This is Remember the Game on the road. We are sitting in the Stone Bridge Hotel in beautiful Fort McMurray, Alberta, and I'm joined by fellow comic Fort McMurray and Mr. Ty Brandt. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming over. Ty is a alcohol
I was going to call you an alcoholic, but no, you're not an alcoholic. But you know your scotch, you know your whiskeys. And so he's hanging out with me in my hotel room, and we're sitting here drinking before the show tonight because welcome to road life as
drinking,
a comic.
Drinking scotch and talking video games. Is there a better way to do it?
This is the life, right? It's the fact that either of us, much less both of us, have a woman in our lives is defying the odds. So,
and I think we're both lucky enough to have women that support our stupid dreams.
Yeah, it's true. Isn't that the truth?
It's very hard to find.
It's very hard to find. We are lucky.
Unless it's play video games. God damn it.
Yeah. That's like literally my video game. My Switch is sitting 3 feet from me because that's all I do on the road is sit in my room and play Switch like a nerd. But we're not talking Switch today. If I'm not mistaken, but I don't know what episode this will be going up, but this is our first ever trek to the original Xbox.
Oh, shit.
On this podcast. Oh, wow. You're the maiden voyage. And if I'm being honest, I can't imagine another game on the Xbox we'll talk about, on the original Xbox, with the exception maybe of the sequel to this game, because today we're talking Halo Combat Evolved,
yeah.
Which for my money is the game that, I won't say built the Xbox, but it's the game that kept the Xbox afloat, that's for fucking sure.
Revolutionized the first-person shooter genre.
It really did, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's... Okay, so we're the same age. You're 34.
Yeah.
I'm 35. So, when the original Xbox came out, were you, like... Did you have to get one? Like, did you get one right away? Were you excited about it at all?
No, I did not get one right away. I ended up getting a used one, like, a year after it came out.
Was that right, eh?
Yeah. It was at a garage sale of someone whose mother was upset with them. So I'm selling all your video games, and I just happened to be the lucky kid that got there first.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice snag.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, the Xbox, I've had a couple of drinks. I think I'm okay. My timelines might be off, but if I'm not mistaken, when the Xbox came out, like, there was a four-headed dragon in consoles for a while because it was the PS2, the Xbox, the GameCube, and the Dreamcast were all on the market at one point.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident that's true. And then obviously, as we all know, the Dreamcast was the video gaming cannot support four consoles. It couldn't then, it can't now. And we won't get into the whole Google thing. That doesn't matter. All I'm saying is four consoles are too many. And I remember when Microsoft announced the Xbox, and I was one of many people that was like, yeah, okay. It was like,
sure,
you're right.
A whole new console?
Right. I mean, because you have to remember, like, the PS2 was the king of gaming at that time, right? Like, the PS2 handedly won that generation, right? Like, it's one of the, if it's not the greatest selling console of all time, it's like top three or four. Like, it's a fucking, that was a monster. And then the GameCube was rad for what it was. If you were a Nintendo person, you liked the GameCube. And then Sega, people were skeptical of the Dream. I mean, it's too little too late because now people look back at the Dreamcast and they're like, what a great system that was. And nobody had one.
But it was for its time that no one could afford.
Right. Well, yeah, that was it. And Sega had just fucked up too many times. And I think people had given up on Sega. But when Microsoft entered the equation, I know I was one of many people that were like, yeah, okay. And then when they released that Xbox, dude, like that console was a fucking brick. Like that thing was huge.
Yeah.
And then do you remember the original controllers?
They were so fat and heavy.
It was the
that, like, my childlike hands had problems dealing with them.
It was the big. That has to be the biggest console controller of all time.
I think, like, it gave me like a whole complex about my penis size. Yeah. It was really awkward holding
that thing was huge. They did eventually release the S controllers.
The smaller one, yeah.
You know, by the time I got my hands on an Xbox, I got the smaller controllers. Which was a great controller, by the way, the small original Xbox controller. But so the big Xbox controller, we are talking Halo, I promise. We've never talked Xbox on here, so let's talk a little bit of Xbox. My buddy Chris had one. I remember my buddy Chris Russell getting one and going over to his place to play with his Xbox, and that fucking controller was so goddamn big. And I was just like, what? Especially when you look at, not so much the Dreamcast controller, because I think the Dreamcast controller kind of sucked, but the GameCube and the PS2, the PS2 controller has the PlayStation controller has remained largely unchanged through four generations.
More or less. It's the same shape. Just might be a little bit bigger for vibration.
Little tweaking, little polishing.
The buttons have stayed the same,
right?
Essentially.
And it is, by all accounts and purposes, as close to a perfect video game controller as you can hold. Like, yeah. It's the PlayStation. And I'm not the world's biggest PlayStation guy, but the DualShock is incredible. Like, those controllers are perfect. And I think most people that played games in this era would argue that the GameCube controller, as odd as it looked, was a really good fucking controller, especially coming off the Nintendo 64 travesty. Yeah, like the GameCube controller was rad. So when Xbox rolled out this fucking football, everyone was like, what the fuck is this? But then they re-released a smaller one and they nailed it. Do you like my first memory of playing Xbox is playing Halo at my buddy Chris's house.
Mine isn't. Mine was actually Fusion Frenzy because I had to play games I could play with my sister.
Yeah, sorry. If you guys, I don't know if you guys are going to pick up. I don't know if we're picking up the sirens, but if we are, yeah, we're in Fort Mac.
They're not coming for us.
They're not coming for us. So it was playing Fusion Frenzy with your sister.
Yeah, because my sister and I, when we grew up, we were playing like Mario Kart together. And mm-hmm. We bet 25 cents on each game. We play the battle. And you're like, oh, 75 cents for your three balloons, 25
Has
cents
to.
A balloon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we always just play games like that together. So we got the Xbox. It was on the family TV. We didn't have our own TVs in our rooms type thing.
Right.
So I had to share, and Fusion Frenzy was our go-to game.
All right.
Just like a party game. And then when she wasn't around, that's when I got into Halo.
Halo, yeah. It, like, I mean, it's to this day, like, I mean, I think there's, we're two generations past this now, because there was the Xbox 360 and now the Xbox One. I don't know if people still instantly associate. I mean, obviously, when you hear Halo, you associate it with Xbox because it's Microsoft exclusive, you know.
But it wasn't. It was also released on Mac.
Right, right. Like, yeah, yeah. But like, not on another like console. You know what I mean? Like, it's. I mean, I don't know if it's still like. I mean, personally, when I think of Xbox, like
the original Xbox, it launched with Halo.
Yeah,
they
right.
Launched simultaneously with Bungie Studios.
That's the game really I think of. You know, yeah. I mean, to me, I think of that, and I think of Fable.
I remember Fable. Yeah.
Right, but Halo was the fucking thing, right? And I know that Halo still sells big. It has slowed down. It had like the hype just isn't there like it was during Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3. Halo 2 was fucking. We could do a whole nother episode on Halo 2, but the original one, yeah, like it like I was never a huge shooter guy either.
No.
Yourself? No?
But I think it was the first time I ever got to play multiplayer with friends.
Yeah.
Besides, like, GoldenEye.
GoldenEye, right.
But, like, you could actually do, like, proper sniping. You had good 360 view, up and down.
One axis,
like, everything, right? And then you had vehicles. You could fly. They're Banshee.
You could do
tanks,
everything. Yeah.
War. Like, you could do so much.
And
so it was a huge jump from anything we'd done before.
Totally. Because, like, I agree with you. Like, I know some people will say that they played, like, Doom and Wolfenstein and stuff on computer. I never got into those games, you know. To me, it was GoldenEye and it was Perfect Dark on the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Right? And it's funny because, like, I haven't played either of those games on a Nintendo 64 in 20 years. And I guarantee you, if you hadn't played a game like that in that long and you picked up one of those controllers and tried to play one of those games today on the Nintendo 64 with that controller, you would be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, the controls would make no fucking sense. But at that time,
sluggish.
Right. But at that time, they did. They did make sense. And Halo, if I'm wrong, gaming nerds can yell at me. I don't remember ever playing a first-person shooter, especially on a home console like that, with the dual sticks, with that control that we all just know and use now, right?
Used to, yeah.
Where like the
that
left
was introduced
joystick
through Halo,
right? Where Absolutely. The left joystick moves you forward, moves you backwards, and strafes left and right, and then the right joystick controls which way you're looking.
Yeah,
right.
And it's your aim.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember playing it for the first time at my friend Chris's, and I could not wrap my head around those fucking controls because I was so used to the GoldenEye and the Nintendo 64, and I hated it. I was like, this is fucking stupid. This makes no sense. This is not going to work. Like, fucked. And now, literally 3 hours ago, I was laying here playing Doom on my Switch with those exact same controls because everyone knows those controls now, right?
Just the go-to.
I think Halo, like, I mean, we'll get more into the game in a second here, but, like, Halo deserves its spot on not only... I would argue that it is one of the greatest games of all time, and it's unquestionably one of the most influential games of all time. It's the game that launched Xbox, which I didn't think would work. I know I'm not alone in that. People don't want to admit it, but when Xbox first came out, people were like, yeah, okay. And now, like, the Xbox One has faltered a little bit, but there's no question Xbox is gaming, right? It's synonymous with gaming, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. They definitely cut out their market.
Unquestionably, yeah, yeah. The Xbox 360 destroyed. Like, that was a phenomenal system.
I think Xbox was, they introduced Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, that was before PlayStation ever had networking.
Totally. I would argue that to this day, Microsoft has the Xbox Live online, what's the word I'm looking for? Format, like their system, the way they have it set up, is still the best in at least in console gaming. Yeah. It's the best online service available. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And Halo is the spring point for all of that. Halo is fucking ground zero for what became Xbox. Like, it's really what they, and then, so, okay, so they deserve a lot of credit for what they did for Xbox, and they also deserve a ton of credit for what they've done for the first person shooter genre.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, I mean, I would argue that you wouldn't have Call of Duty and all of the, at least not at the levels they are now, no, without Halo, because Halo ushered all that. Like, Halo was so big.
Yeah.
And once you got used to those controls, and not everyone's an idiot like me, some people figured them out right away, that was the only way to play those games. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it was perfect. And that's not even getting into the game. Like, we're literally just talking about the legacy of this game and the controls.
It's 20 years old now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's got to be around 2000, 2001, somewhere in there, I think.
That was 99.
It might be. Like, it was, I remember being in high school, like, when, yeah, I was playing this.
It was a while ago.
So, okay, so I think that we've jerked off all over Halo for long enough just to talk about its legacy. When you get into the game itself, my first thought when I think of Halo is single player. Or, yeah, not necessarily single,
it was
but campaign.
Story driven.
It was, right. Yeah. I would say less single player and more campaign. Because you could play campaign two player, and it was fucking awesome. It was so fun. Dude, it was the fucking best. So, and I may be wrong because it's been a long time since I've played this game. You and I were talking about this last night at the show. But if I'm not mistaken, the basic story of Halo is they find this fucking thing, the ship or whatever you want to call it, up in the stars, the Halo.
Yeah.
And Master Chief and
Cortana.
Cortana. I was going to say Coralta, and I knew that wasn't right. Cortana. Master Chief and Cortana, if I'm not mistaken, think that the Halo is a weapon for the Covenant.
It was.
Which, yeah, is the enemies that you're fighting. Then,
so
you,
if I remember the backstory, it was that the Covenant was like a religious group of different aliens that had come together to fight the Flood. The Flood was their enemy.
That's, yeah.
They had built this Halo type weapon to deal with the Flood. It's a spaceship, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they encounter humanity.
But the Flood was like a twist, like halfway through.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know the Flood. I can't remember if you knew the Flood existed or not, but you didn't know they were in the game.
No, you were dealing with like the grunts and the what they call them, priests.
The hunters. Those fucking hunters. Yeah. Unless you had a pistol, then they were easy, right? But the grunts are my favorite. Grunts are among my favorite.
They made fun noises.
Yeah, grunts are the Goombas of the Halo world. They're fucking perfect. But then you find out that the Flood are these like parasite fucking things that are like almost an enemy to the Covenant. They are an enemy to the Covenant. The, yeah, Covenant is trying to stop these parasites. So then it almost becomes to use a wrestling term, it almost becomes like a triple threat match between like humanity, the Covenant, and the Flood. And then you find out, and I'm almost sure this is right, that the Halo was designed to wipe out the food sources for the Flood, which are basically everything. And that would kill the Flood because they wouldn't have any organisms to eat and live off of. And so then you realize you have to stop the Halo because if the Halo goes off, it's going to destroy everything. If I'm wrong, if we're wrong,
it's
someone is listening to this and losing their shit. But it was something along those lines. It didn't matter. The storyline was there and it was cool. But it was more about the gameplay.
That had good lore that went, sure, on to make movies and
books and
man-made, yeah,
yeah,
a complete novel series and fan-made,
yeah,
YouTube show Red vs. Blue. And
but at the end of the day, like, as cool as the story was, it was there to just progress or to keep the gameplay going, you know what I mean?
But I enjoyed it. It was one of the first games too that ever had like high quality cutscenes and,
yeah,
stuff, so you felt like you were playing a movie.
You really did. Yeah. You really did. It was like, and you know what, like, I was watching a couple videos of this game getting ready for this podcast today. Like, I mean, the cutscenes look dated. They still look okay, but they look dated, as they should, you know. But I mean, yeah, but like the gameplay itself, like, it still looks good today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and to me, that is the holy grail of Halo is the gameplay. The combat in that game, once you get used to the controls, which again may seem no easy now, they fucking suck back then, that is so fun. Every time you get dropped into another area of combat, like, I'm playing Doom right now, like I said, and I'm not shitting on Doom because Doom, like,
was,
Doom is the godfather of first-person shooters, you know what I mean? But playing Doom to this day, the new one that I'm playing, it's the one that came out like a year ago. It's just, it's paint by numbers. You walk to an area and then there's a bunch of demons and you fight the demons. Then you move to the next area. Then you fight the demon. You know what I mean? And they're just, all the demons are just running at you. There's no strategy. There's no nothing. Halo, and this is a game that is 20 years old. There's some strategy involved. Like, absolutely, the bad guys have a phenomenal AI. Your partner, whenever you're teamed up with the other human, not human players, but when you're teamed up with allies, like humanity, like the computer-controlled humanity, they actually have kind of a brain. Like, they'll help you. You know what I mean? And to me, that's the fun part. They drop you into these, like, when I think of Halo, I think of being like, remember when you're on, like, the outside and you're, like, in the trees and stuff like that, like, outside of some of the Covenant ships,
yeah,
fighting all the... And, like, there's so much room to run around, and there's so many different types of bad guys that are all employing different strategies. The grunts are running around and hilariously screaming and stuff like that. But then you... Yeah, yeah. But then you've got, like, you get dropped into these battles with hunters, and suddenly shit gets really intense, where they're just these huge tanks that are, like... They're going to fuck you up.
And invisible sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there were the guys, and I don't remember all their names, but the guys with the shields.
Yeah.
That had those fucking guns, the needle guns. The needlers.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that gun.
So, like, the fighting bad guys was cool because they all felt like different personalities and different, like, and I go back to Doom again just because it's so fresh in my mind, but, like, you get no sense of, like, hierarchy in Doom other than, like, there's the walking zombies and there's the fucking... demons that try to eat you, the demons that throw fireballs at you. Whereas in Halo, you're playing it and you're like, well, the grunts are clearly the bottom of the food chain and the hunters are clearly at the top of the food chain. And it just, like, it feels so cool to get in all these different fights. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much strategy involved in it for just a basic 20-year-old first-person shooter. And I don't think people give it nearly the credit it deserves for that.
I think it gets credit as well. So you're playing Doom. How many guns can you carry?
Oh, fuck. I think I've got seven right now.
So I think Halo was one of the first ones to introduce a limited amount. You could only carry two at a time.
Which is awesome.
So that completely changed your strategy. Were you going to carry a sniper rifle when going onto a ship? Probably not.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
so, like, one of my favorite combos, though, was a sniper and the needler. Because the needler, you just needed to get one shot on them. And then everything else, every bullet, if they went around a room or a or something... all the other bullets would follow.
That's right.
So it's like, that was your strategy. Was I just got to hit him once and then I could hide and shoot from somewhere else.
And I don't think you could dually on the first one. I think it was Halo 2 where you
it
could
was
dually.
Halo 2.
Yeah, because a pair of needlers was fucking the cat's ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, even one. You're right. And like, I forgot all about that, but that was a rad thing that you could carry,
two
weapons. So you really had to, like, it added a lot of replay to it because you were like, okay, well, I ran through with a fucking assault rifle and a fucking needler this time, you know what I mean? Like, I'll come through with a sniper rifle and this next time, you know what I mean? Like,
well, and then it was fun to, like, when you play multiplayer, where you just make your own rules with your friends, like rocket launchers only, or shotties only, or pistol only.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So you could just kind of limit that yourself, but it was entertaining to have that restriction of needing that strategy of, well, if I'm going into this place, I want my sniper rifle because I'm in the gulge and I want to shoot long distances. But if I get up close, I need something that's going to be half decent.
Right.
So, like, a lot of the times my combo was, like, the rifle, and the assault rifle and the sniper rifle.
Right.
Or if I was doing something else, the needler was pretty much my go-to for anything else that didn't require long range.
Yeah.
It was my favorite. I just loved it.
Yeah. And it looked cool, too. It was a rad-looking gun.
I liked how it reloaded.
Yeah,
it was fun.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, you can only carry two weapons and then the grenades. And then the grenades were fucking, were they called plasma?
Plasma grenades.
The blue ones that stuck to people.
Because you had the plasma gun as well.
Like the most badass grenade of all time. Like, I fucking loved it, man. So the weapons were rad. And I know this is a common thing in games too, but like, I loved the enemy weapons in this game.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job of really making the Covenant weapons feel completely different.
That, like,
than humanity's weapons.
Sword thing.
Yeah. Like when you were playing with a human weapon, it was just a gun. It was a gun that shot bullets or whatever, or rockets or fucking, and that was your weapon. But when you got a hold of a Covenant weapon, it really did feel like, and they did such a great job of making them look different, making them sound different. The way they reloaded was different.
Because it wasn't like a powder-driven projectile,
right?
Like any other rifle.
You could get, like, didn't the Covenant have like those, almost like their pistol weapons that would overheat if you shot them too much, so you had to watch it.
That's what I meant, was it would overheat, and then you'd see the two pieces pop out.
Yeah, the two still, like, yeah. Like, that's just, like, little details that they didn't have to do, but just gave it so much, such a phenomenal feeling of atmosphere, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You were using their weapons, and their weapons felt just as powerful as ours, so then you were like, holy fuck, like, these guys can bring the heat, you know what I mean?
I think that was another thing that Halo had done that others hadn't before, is that they had made it that each gun had more power or less power, different advantages and disadvantages, so that you'd have to use that strategy.
Whereas, they were very distinct.
Whereas before, it was just like, you have everything. Yeah, a rocket launcher is a rocket launcher,
right.
A pistol is a pistol.
Right.
But when you combine them in different ways, you know, I'm not going to take out that tank with a pistol, but I'm not going to take out that guy with a rocket launcher.
Right, right, yeah.
So they added that element.
You're right. You know, yeah, so many games, like, to me, basic, like, first-person shooting 101 is the pistol is the default weapon that just, you know, pew, 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 right? And then there's the assault rifle where you basically just hold, shoot, and tee off on people. Shotgun is great for up close because it spreads and blows everything up. And then the rocket launcher. I posted something on Facebook the other day. Rocket launcher explodes everything, but I am almost a guarantee to kill myself with a rocket launcher before I kill any bad guys in any video game. Fucking guarantee. But that was just like that was just classic gaming guns. Yeah. And you're right. This one really took each one. And then the sniper rifle and stuff. But this one really did a great job of like, these are the perks of this one. These are the fallbacks of this one. Even the pistol, like the pistol could zoom in, right? Like the pistol, you could, not full-fledged sniper, but you could like
you could get
go like two times or something
zoom,
with it, right?
Yeah.
That was really cool. Like it was just, what a great fucking game, you know? And then you throw in the grenades. And then this is like such a little thing. I just wrote this down because I didn't want to forget to touch it. I don't know why I found this so I love the flashlight in this game. You could hit the white button on the Xbox controller and turn on your flashlight. And I just thought that was so fucking cool. Because
you never really needed it, but it was the option that it was there.
It just made it feel more like you were Master Chief. You know what I mean? Like
that was the evolved of the combat.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
They gave you more options to feel more into the character.
And then, like, so we get off on all the weapons. You get off on all of the alien weapons and on all the strategy because the aliens fight you in different ways. And you need to combat different enemies in different ways and everything. And we haven't even mentioned the fucking vehicles.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Oh, right? Like, and I can't remember if you could drive all of them in the first one or some of this got added in the second one.
You could drive the
because there were the warthogs,
the tank, the banshee.
And there were the ghosts.
Which one was the ghost?
Wasn't the ghost... Oh, boy, someone's listening now. I'm almost positive ghosts were like their batwing-looking mopeds that you could fly along the ground that had the two lasers in the front. The banshees were the ones that could fly.
They could fly, yeah.
Right? And I can't remember if you could drive all of them in the first one or not. But I thought that the ships were so rad, like, because they all handled different and added different elements to the game, too. And you didn't have to use them. Like, in a lot of games, you hit points where you have to get in a vehicle and fucking get away from something or something. And I know there are parts where you have to use them. Yeah. But whenever you get to, like, a huge area of combat, the area is so big, the vehicles are just laying around. And you can go grab one if you want. And if you think you're better off without one, then don't go get one, you know?
Yeah.
And the Warthog, like, I'm a Jeep guy. I fucking love Jeeps. The Warthog was so rad. And we'll get into it in a second. One of the fun things was playing campaign two player, because one of you would drive the Jeep or the Warthog,
one of you,
and one of you'd be on the gun in the back. And it was so much fun just ripping around these fields full of aliens shooting at you and just being like, go over there, like, go over there. And trying to, you could take that thing almost, you could take it almost anywhere, right? And you, it was just so much fun to play. That was so rad.
I went to a car show once and they had built one. Like, it was a custom made.
Oh, that's sick.
Real life, full size Warthog.
That's pretty rad. They're like, the vehicles were so much fun. And it's another thing. I can't remember if this was in the first or the second one. I want to say this was in the second one, but where you could steal an enemy's vehicle while they were driving it, and then they could do it to you as well. Remember, they could, you could jump on the ship.
Grand Theft Auto style?
Yeah, you could jump on the ship and like throw them out and then take the ship from them, like the vehicle or whatever from them. And like all that shit just made combat, so, like, it never got boring and repetitive. Like, you never dreaded fighting in this game because there was always so much shit going on that just made it so much more fun. You know, ah, fucking vehicles are so good in this game. So then that, I'm just going, making sure I try to touch on everything I wrote down to talk about here. So that takes me into the campaign. And you said you never played it two player.
Not that I remember. I played multiplayer, but I never played the campaign two player.
I remember playing campaign two player with my buddy Chris. And then I had a friend, Ryan. He was my first roommate. And his nickname was Nintendo because he was such a gaming nerd. To any of my buddies that know Ryan, they're like, Nintendo. And then his brother was Sega. It didn't matter. he was my first roommate. And I remember us setting out to, like, we were going to beat, because remember, Halo had legendary difficulty. I don't remember this in the campaign, which was like the highest difficulty. And it was fucking,
it's like one shot, one kill.
Ruthless. It, you, if you got pinned down, or you were fucked.
Yeah.
But whenever you played two player, if one of you died, you would respawn if the second guy got through that fight or got far enough away from the combat to respawn you. And so in Legendary, you'd be sitting on the couch, which is a lost art. The whole idea of sitting on the couch with your friends and playing a video game like this. That's
true.
Because everyone's
just
online now, right? Back then, it was split the screen. You're on the same team.
Yeah,
and
you
I'll tell
pizza
you.
Party at your friend's place.
Yeah, yeah.
Sleepovers.
Right, yeah.
That was the end of sleepovers.
It was, yeah, it was. And, like, to play that campaign two player sitting with one of your buddies on the couch, especially on Legendary, which was fucking hard. It was so much fun because at this point, you know the game. You know what the next fight coming up is, right? So you're like, okay, what two weapons have you got? Okay, this is what I've got. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to go up high. You flank them. I'll be down low with the assault. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And then if one of you died, you're like screaming to the other guy, like, get out. Like, fucking get out. Get me. You know what I mean? Like,
get to me.
I had so, like, I have so many great memories of just playing that game two player, ripping around on Warthogs with one of us driving and the other one shooting and just having a fucking blast or, like, oh man, what a fucking great game. Have you
really
played
was.
Have you played the remake? They re-released
the anniversary edition?
Yeah.
No, I don't have Xbox anymore.
Oh yeah, you were saying that. Yeah. I mean neither, but I just
PlayStation guy now.
Watching it has me jonesing to play it again.
I wouldn't mind getting together with a couple of friends and going at it again, yeah.
So that's cuz you mentioned I never really played it. I didn't really get into playing the multiplayer until Halo 2. But you mentioned playing multiplayer with your friends, which was a whole nother thing too, right? Like four-player shooters with the four split screen.
And well, then when Live came on, it was 16.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was huge at the time.
That was
awesome. I never imagined playing that many. But now you got games that have got like 180 people.
I was going to say, now like Battle Royale games are like, that's 100 people. Of course it's fucking 100 people. But back then, like to play it with more than four was like,
it was huge. It was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'd hear tales of Your buddy's cousin's best friend's brother had like four screens hooked up and they had four Xboxes all hooked up together and a whole bunch of them were all playing in the same room. And you're like, yeah, I know. I've heard these legends. I sound like urban myths to me.
Just fucking nerds. But yeah, it was so.
Parties.
But it was. It was like, I just. Good times, man. Just playing like four player screen and yelling at each other for screen watching. That was a big thing. We all did it, but you all accused of other people of doing it. And you were like,
yeah,
I didn't fucking do it.
You're 12, 13 years old.
No, fuck no. It was all about bragging rights, right? It was just, what a great game. I'll tell you, if I had a podcast when Xbox launched, I would have done an entire episode about why it won't work and about how Xbox isn't going to work. I was
doomed to fail.
Yeah, I was like, they're a brand new kid up against three incredibly established brands in Nintendo, PlayStation, and Sega. They have no chance. And I even probably would have shit on Halo the first time I played it because I didn't like the controls, and I was like, I don't understand the hype.
It was new.
Yeah. And
because old people don't like change.
Yeah, it's true. And now it's like, before we started recording, you said you're a PlayStation guy.
Yeah.
I was, PS2 was rad. I was late to the PS3, but I did buy a PS4 at launch. I got rid of it eventually and just went with my Switch, but I did have one. I bought an Xbox One, literally played Gears of War 4, and then sold my Xbox One.
I've never played Gears of War.
They're great. Like, it's, if you're listening to this and you've never played the Gears of Wars and you have Xbox 360 or an Xbox One, absolutely highly. They're
that
really,
was a launch
really
title with it though, wasn't it?
I don't think it was launch, but it was basically the title that it might have been for the Xbox One. I don't think it was on the 360, but it was like the first big exclusive, like new exclusive on the Xbox 360. I think anyway. But they're great. But that was it. You know what I mean? Like, I think Halo, as revolutionary as it was at the time for this new cool console and everything, I think Halo is kind of been forgotten. Not forgotten, because they still sell when they come out.
Surpassed.
They have been surpassed. I mean, forget the fact that now, I don't think anyone has seen exactly what the Battle Royale games are going to have along, as far as like Fortnite and
Apex Legends, which is huge.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. I'm curious to see what effect those games have on like Call of Duty and stuff now in the coming years, because Call of Duty was what, sort of like knocked
Halo.
Call
of Duty started off. I remember we used to go, because I grew up in a town called Richmond Hill, and it was mostly Asian, and we would always go to get bubble tea and then go to an internet cafe and play the original Call of Duty, which was World War II, and you'd all be in one internet cafe playing on the same server.
Right.
And that was huge for us, and it was more of a combat simulator.
Right, right.
Now it's gotten to the point where it's just, like, it's beyond ridiculous, where it's like... It's not realistic or anything anymore, but it's still trying to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you get Fortnite and Apex, it's cartoony.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where they've gotten into. So they've gone back to what Halo was, which was sci-fi
military action,
as opposed to realistic military simulator.
They're doing it better. Like Halo,
they're doing it on a grand scheme.
Sure, that's a better way to put it.
Campaign for either one of those games.
Right. Plus, Halo's exclusivity doesn't do it any favors at this point. When you can get Call of Duty on the Xbox or the PS4 or on computers, you know, or fucking whatever, and play it everywhere. Fortnite is literally on phones. Like, Fortnite is everywhere. Halo is stuck on the Xbox One, that is the third selling console of the three right now.
What's like beating? It's what, PlayStation and...
The PS4 destroyed Xbox One.
Yeah.
And the Switch is... Because the Switch launched later than the PS4 and the Xbox One. But based on where the PS4 and Xbox One sales were at the two-year mark, which is what the Switch just passed, Switch is outselling PS4.
Really?
At the two-year mark. Barely. But the Switch is killing. Like, I know I'm a Nintendo guy. I'm biased. But the Switch is selling like fucking wildfire. And so you've got the... That's why... And this is actually something I wrote down that I kind of wanted to maybe get close to wrapping this thing up with. I don't know how much you know about it, because you said you're a Sony, you're a PS4 guy, but Microsoft and Nintendo are kind of sleeping together now. Like, Xbox Live is coming to Switch.
Can you cross-platform games?
You already can with stuff like Fortnite, and I believe with like Rocket League in some games.
Okay.
But now Xbox Live is coming to Switch. Cuphead is an exclusive for the Xbox One that just got announced for the Switch. And what I think it is, and so a lot of, I don't know if they've officially confirmed it, but most people think that Microsoft's Game Pass system, which is kind of like PS Now to Microsoft, is going to be coming to Switch.
Interesting.
And it's what a lot of, you know what it is, I think, and what a lot of people think is Microsoft looking at it and being like, we're getting our asses kicked by Sony as far as being the home console versus the home console. Nintendo has found their own niche market with this portable thing, where they're a great like partner system to one of those two consoles, and it's selling as well as the PS4 is. So Microsoft and the Xbox One are completely getting left in the dust. And so I think that it's Nintendo looking at it as like, our online sucks, and Microsoft looking at it as, our console can't beat PS4's console, but we have the single best online setup in gaming. Let's fucking look. It's, you know what it is? It's two against one. Like, let's fucking get them. You know what I mean? Like, looking at the juggernaut that is Sony and these PlayStation.
So
is there
going to be a potential to play Halo on Switch?
That's what I want to end it on, is if the Game Pass comes to Switch, I'm very curious to see if you can get Xbox legacy kind of content on the Switch. Because I'll tell you, and I think anyone listening to this that has a Switch would agree, like, if you could get the Master Chief Collection, like Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3, on your Switch and be able to play them anywhere, that would be fucking rad. Oh. Because those games are too good to just get left sitting in the dark on a console that's dying. And that's, and the Xbox One isn't dying like the Dreamcast did or anything, but the Xbox One has not had a good run. Like, it's gotten its ass kicked by the PS4. It's a great system, but it's just gotten its ass kicked. It's just that simple.
I think that started with 360 and PS3 when it was Blu-ray and HD DVD.
See, I think it's funny because what happened is, like, the PS2 was the unquestioned leader of that generation.
Absolutely.
And then it's well documented, like, the PS3 struggled out of the gate because they came out launching it at like $600 or $700.
Oh, it was eight.
It was insane. Yeah. Whereas Xbox came out with the 360 and was like, well, ours is a reasonable price. And I know I'm not the only one. Like, a lot of people switched, including myself, to the Xbox 360 and got away. I didn't buy a PS3 until like it was done. And then I got one for like $80 and caught up on all of like the Uncharted and Last of Us and some of the great games. And now this console, when the Xbox One, I know it's a retro gaming console or podcast. Shut up, doesn't matter.
We're getting to the point where those are retro gaming systems.
Yeah, we are. We're getting there. when the Xbox One and the PS4 came out, it was almost a reversal of fortunes because the Xbox One launched with all this shit where you had to be online to play it. You couldn't share games. Once you played a game on one system, you couldn't use like a pre-played copy anywhere else. It was a fucking nightmare. Okay, I don't know how awkward this comeback's going to be, but I dropped my recorder off of the bed and it paused and I don't know exactly where it left off. So basically I'm not even going to get back into the whole Xbox PlayStation thing. All I know is it looks like Microsoft and Nintendo are kind of putting their differences aside to try to stop Sony. And as a Nintendo gamer who likes Halo, it excites me because I want Halo on Switch.
Halo on Switch does sound pretty awesome.
Ty, on a scale of 1 to 10, what score would you give Halo Combat Evolved for the Xbox?
By today's standards or when it came out? when it came out, I got to say that was a 9.
Okay.
It was revolutionary. It was hard to beat. There was nothing else like it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a while until anything else came out that was close.
Agreed.
It had replayability. It had new, exciting weapons and different things you could do with it. So, yeah, I got to give it a 9 out of 10. It was an awesome game.
I agree. Yeah, I'll go 9 as well. I think that Halo is to Xbox what Mario is to Nintendo.
There you go.
I know Halo's not worth as much, but it's the franchise in the game that built a system. And fucking good on it, man. Halo was rad. That was fun. Good job. Thanks buddy.
Thanks for having me, man.
Sorry about the drop in the recorder. Guys, I hope that's not going to be awkward for everyone listening. But thanks, buddy. Good job. Gonna do it for this week's episode, everybody. Ty, thank you so much for talking Halo with me, and all of you, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I mentioned it off the top, but that was a long time ago. You may not remember this. If there's another Xbox exclusive from the original Xbox that you want us to talk, shoot me a message. Let me know. And don't save Fable because I haven't played it enough to talk about it. But maybe if I could find a copy of it or I could find a way to play it somewhere, I would. But I'm curious. I don't want the Xbox to just die. It just doesn't have as many exclusive games with it. When you think of Xbox, you think Halo. That's just how it works. So let me know if there's anything else you want to talk about. If there's any games on any system that you think we should talk about, let me know. I'd be interested to hear what you guys are missing out on. We have some great games coming up. I'm always looking to record more. I'm going to be doing another recording session here in another month or so. We'll get a bunch more episodes locked down for you guys. This podcast isn't going anywhere. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MemberTheGame or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/RememberTheGame. And thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, leave me a good review somewhere. I'd really, really appreciate it. Most importantly, just tell a friend. Let's keep this thing going as we climb toward episode 50. I'm going to get out of here and go eat some dinner and then go tell some jokes. You guys, thanks for listening. Go do whatever you got to do. Make sure you leave yourself some time to play video games. And I'll talk to you again in 7 days. Thanks, guys. Take it easy.